कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारिया गायो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन गायो यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन गायो यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी गायो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गायो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे Hare Hare. Jayo Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada. Jayo, Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol. Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Gopi Manande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha Shastram panchalasam gitam Pitrayanam devayanam Shota chuta dharat rajet Pravrittim cha vinivrittim cha Shastram panchala samgitam Pitrayanam devayanam Shota chuta dharat rajet Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha Shastram panchala samgitam Pitrayanam devayanam Shotra chuta dharat vraje Pravrittam, the process of sense enjoyment. Cha, also. Nivrittam, the process of detachment. Cha, also. Shastram, scripture, panchala, panchala, sangitam is described as pitrayanam, going to pitraloka, devayanam, going to devaloka, shrotrat, by hearing, shrutidharat, by the companion named Shrutadhar. Vrajet, one can be elevated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Narad Muni continued, the city spoken of as Dakshin Panchal represents the scriptures meant for directing pravritti, the process of sense enjoyment and fruitive activities. The other city named Uttar Panchal represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by means of 2 ears, and some living entities are promoted to Pitraloka and some to Devaloka. All this is made possible by the 2 ears. Purport. The Vedas are known as Shruti, and the knowledge received from them through oral reception is called Shrutadhar. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one can be promoted to planets of demigods or to the planets of Pitas, forefathers, or even to Vaikuntha planets, simply through the process of hearing. These things have already been explained in previous chapters. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namene Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారణి జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ టు ది 12th టెక్స్ట్ ఆల్సో సో వీ రీడ్ దట్ ఫస్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ 13 అండ్ దెన్ గో డీపర్ The city called Apana represents engagement of the tongue in speech and Bahudan is the variety of foodstuffs. The right ear is called the gate of Pitruhu and the left ear is called the gate of Devahu. Text 13 translation. Narad Muni continued, The city spoken of as Dakshin Panchal represents the scriptures meant for directing pravritti, the process of sense enjoyment, In fruitive activities, the other city named Uttar Panchal represents the scriptures meant for decreasing fruitive activities and increasing knowledge. The living entity receives different kinds of knowledge by the means of two ears, and some living entities are promoted to Pitraloka and some to Devloka. All this is made possible by the two ears. So first of all, I beg for the blessings and mercy of all the Vaishnavas here that I can speak properly according to the, in accordance with the message of Guru Parampara and do the true justice to the seva which has been given to me. So with that, would like to share something about this very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a very special gift to the humanity. It's the most special gift to the humanity because it awards pure devotional service. And not just it gives that gift of pure devotional service, but it elevates the recipient to the level of actually receiving that gift. So one thing is you give the gift, but you also make that person qualified to receive that gift. So Bhagavatam does both. It gives that gift and it makes one qualified. So very systematically in Srimad Bhagavatam, progressively the recipient is graduated from one level to another. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with creation. In fact, it begins with the source of creation, Janmadasya Chata. Krishna is the supreme cause of all the causes. All the incarnation and expansions, they are actually coming from Krishna. Ete jams kalapumsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So that is settled. And then the different orders of creation actually begin. Okay. So once the source of all the creation is established as Krishna, then the subsequent creation, how it comes into being, is being explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. How Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, by his mercy, Mahat Tattva comes into being. Then how different universes come into being. Then within those universes, how Brahma creates. Then how after Brahma creating, Prajapati start creating. And then after Prajapati is the next most powerful beings are these powerful kings of which we are discussing around here. So we see it's a very progressive and from a very macro level, it comes to the micro level. Slowly, so that we can at least find ourselves somewhere in that range. Of course, we'll very well in that range. The objective is to establish that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Paratram Nanyat. That there is Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajate Vam Bhuta Bhav Samanvita. That source of everything is Krishna. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a devotee never falls into Maya if he remembers that the goal of my life is to worship Krishna, who is the source of everything. But that has to be systematically understood, which Bhagavatam does. Especially fourth canto, so we see is creation of fourth order. So technically we see that, you know, all of us who have studied mathematics, so differential of first order, second order, third order, fourth order, like that. So we are like, you know, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, then Prajapatis, and here we are, you know, Brahma, and then so we are discussing that creation now, which is very, very relevant. We can actually relate to it. And in this, then we are seeing fourth canto is about the stories of great personalities, exalted kings, powerful, you know, prajapatis, and we are seeing that how some of them, they utilize austerities, sacrifices, karma, sannyas, so many things in mode of goodness and passion, and dovetail them in the devotional service of the Lord, which is the supreme objective. And we also see some cases where this thing doesn't happen. The austerities, sacrifices, and everything is not dovetailed in the service of Lord. And that leads to Shrama Vaihi Kevalam. It's simply a waste of time. And the story of King Prachinabari is actually a manifestation of that, you can say, the failure case study, where the austerities and the piety and everything was not eventually engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, and which led to bewilderment of Prachinabari. And Narad Muni, in a very classical way, through the allegorical story, he is trying to explain, which eventually Prachinabari says that I am not able to understand. In fact, Sukhdev Goswami says in second canto, one who is actually agitated by mode of passion and bewildered by ignorance will not be able to appreciate spiritual subject. It's very difficult. It's impossible, actually. Even so, that's the same reason why Prachinabari is not able to grasp. And actually, that story is not for Prachinabari. Again, it's an allegorical story of Prachinabari, so to say, for us. Scriptures is filled up of allegories. Okay, so Krishna is instructing Arjuna, but actually not Arjuna, us. So definitely it becomes the question of how much a recipient is in touch with mode of goodness, and that is going to decide how well such subjects are going to be appreciated and absorbed. And now we are seeing that, no, Prachinabari is now being given purport to Narad Muni's story, and Prabhupada is giving his purport. So we are getting maha purports now of that whole story of Puranjan. So here in this verse specifically, we are seeing that, no, after the bewilderment of King Prachinabari and his not being able to accept or understand this subject, Narad Muni is explaining different bodily parts of Puranjan. Puranjan, who represents the conditioned soul. And now we are discussing about the 2 ears. And here we are seeing the choices given to the living entity, where there is another ear, which when utilized, it leads to the spiritual elevation, and the southern ear leads to the degradation. So, point over here is, which is sufficiently proven till now, that the pravritti mark is a very futile mark. It's a very unproductive way of becoming happy. It's only when just like the child is too adamant to get something. So you have to give him something. So that's what pravritti mark is. You give something to keep the child glued to the parents, but at the same time give him something. And eventually that child understands. Just like Prabhupada used to say that, no, my he had a son, and no, he used to always, you know, like, no, I'll put my hand in the finger and finger in the fan. And Prabhupada used to say, no, no, no. And then eventually he says, no, okay, try once. Okay, so he slowed down the fan and then he got the immediate hit and then he realized, okay, no. So that's Pravritti Mark. So the living entity remains glued to the instructions and the obedience path of the Lord also. At the same time, he realizes that it's futile also. But the important point to be noted over here is the importance of hearing from authorized sources. So, principle of hearing from authorized sources, whether one is hearing for spiritual elevation or material enjoyment, it is very effective. That is an important point to be noted, because we see later in Srimad Bhagavatam, even there is a fight between demigods and demons. We see that demigods lost to demons. No, because they were not following Brihaspati and demons were following their guru. So there are certain principles which cannot be avoided, okay, because it is Krishna's creation. Krishna himself is Vedas. Krishna himself is actually that knowledge which is coming in Vedas. That's what Krishna says to Uddhav, that I myself, I am that Vedic knowledge. It's not that it is my knowledge or some, it is me. There's no difference actually. It's not my energy or something like that. It's me personally which is coming. So then if that is Krishna, then that has to be successful. There's no question of it failing actually. The disease with Kali Yuga is that, no, of course, like, no, we see even Hiranyakashipu following that. He was following the what he heard from Pravritti or whatever, like, no, the authorized sources perfectly, and he perfected actually. In that sense, he perfected. And even Krishna himself cautions Arjuna that, see, be intelligent, because if you get attracted to the flowery words of Vedas, you will eventually follow and then you will get to the higher planet. So it's a given that when we follow authorized sources, we hear from authorized sources, we are going to get that result. It is a given. Therefore, with full confidence, Prabhupada is saying that it's just by the process of hearing, one can achieve what has to achieve. The disease in Kali Yuga is that, no, there is too much of focus on inventing new things, inventing new processes to achieve things. But actually we see that is not working. Even if we see the world around, it's not working. Therefore, if we can say, there were two classes in the Vedic civilization, intelligent, and intelligent. Okay, so those who were actually intelligent to look for spiritual goal and they were following spiritual path. But those who were looking for material enjoyment, but eventually they are following Vedas. So they were actually unintelligent. But in Kali Yuga, we see unintelligent. Even though there is material enjoyment is the goal, they don't want to follow even the process of the authorized process given in the scriptures. And that's why there is no success. So, in fact, the Vedic knowledge is divided into two divisions: Vedas and Puranas and Itihasas. They are technically clubbed into one. And within Vedas, actually, there are Samhitas, Upanishads, Aranyakas, and Brahmans. Samhitas are describe the goal. Prayojan, as we know. They describe the goal, the different destinations one can achieve. And there are something like 1 lakh Samhitas. Okay, we know about Brahma Samhita, but there are like 1 lakh Samhitas. And most of the Samhitas are actually talking about the materialistic planets and materialistic goals. And to achieve those goals, there are certain sacrifices to be done. And how those sacrifices are to be done and what are those sacrifices, that is being covered in Aranyakas and Brahmans. And the philosophy behind everything is covered in Upanishads. So technically every Samhita used to have its Aranyaka and its Brahman and its Upanishad also. 108 is what we know, but actually it's not dwindled out. So we see Vedic scheme of things is fully replete to award whatever you just desire. It's like desire tree, and there is a process to achieve it. There are ways and there is glory of that, and everything is fine. It's like we used to perform that chemistry experiment, no? H2 plus O2 and push, H2O used to come. So it's just that if you want to perform that experiment, it's there. All you have to do is hear what are the do's and what are the don'ts, and keep that, you know, that apparatus clean and dry, and then perform the experiment. H2 plus O2, push, H2O will come for sure. So that's how Vedic scriptures are. Okay, so we just follow what we are supposed to follow, and then the results are automatically achieved. So that's the power of Vedic literature and the Shabda Praman. Nonetheless, since we are devotees and we are practicing on the path of devotional service, I would like to particularly speak about hearing for the spiritual elevation. And in our scriptures, there are like, you know, if you look, there are three different, you know, qualities or layers of hearing which are being enunciated for the aspiring devotees. The first level of hearing is hearing to expand one's knowledge. So we know there are Dashmula Tattva, and they talk about Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Actually, Sambandha Gyan is very wide. Sambandha Tattva is very wide. It just doesn't talk of the knowledge about God, knowledge about soul, interrelationship between soul, God, material world. It also talks of Abhideya, how the Abhideya is executed, how the Prayojan, what is the nature of the Prayojan. So that a living entity is motivated and the living entity is knows what to do to achieve that particular goal. Once one devotee asked Jayadvait Maharaj that why there is not so much faith. And Maharaj told that because we don't know much. If we know much, then we'll have faith. But when we don't know much, then the faith is lesser. And so that is very important aspect of a devotee's life, that we have to go on expanding our knowledge about Lord, how Lord is working according to our capacity. So once His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was saying that if one is actually materially very intelligent in the sense of qualification, he should, that is what it is, then he has to deploy that fully to analyze and study and everything. So that one, so according to one's capacity, one has to go on going deeper and deeper into the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. That is a very important pillar of, you know, thriving in Krishna consciousness in a devotee's life. So that is first important pillar of hearing. That is hearing to expand knowledge. The second is, so which we usually, this first thing is something by which we have actually come in devotional life. You know, we heard, of course we came, some of us, like no prasadam, this, that, devotees. But eventually we heard. And that hearing led to certain clarification, conceptions getting cleared, and we came in Krishna consciousness. But that process should not stop there. After coming to Krishna consciousness, after broadly being okay with the, like, you know, reaching a particular level of practice, now it's okay. I mean, that's done. But it has to go on. And sometimes, like, you know, we see that, you know, Prabhupada lectures and all. That's why it's important to continuously hear Prabhupada lectures. It's not that it's for the basic initial stuff. It is something which has to go on for devotee's life. So one devotee was once mentioning that we come in hearing, we come in devotional life because of hearing. We continue in devotional life because of hearing, and we perfect our devotional life because of hearing. So hearing is such an important pillar. So this expansion of one's knowledge and better understanding of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan is very important. Prabhupada wanted us to do that. In fact, Prabhupada wrote one essay called Analysis of Bhagavad Gita. It is... So basically there are two things, like reading is one thing. So when we read through, it's fine. The study means you take one subject, soul, and try to gather from different places what Prabhupada says, what different scriptures say about soul, and then try to look that one aspect from different angles. So that's called study. So Prabhupada actually wanted all devotees to first read and come in devotional life, then eventually study and expand one's understanding and strengthen one's faith. So the first thing is hearing to expand the knowledge. The second level of hearing is hearing to gain enthusiasm. So we see that no nashta prayeshu avadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya. So it is very important for us to continuously hear. We sometimes have lack of enthusiasm in the process of Krishna consciousness. The technical root is actually lack of attentive and lack of hearing which is solid and which is regular, attentive and not whimsical. Okay, if that hearing continues, the enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness continues. So once one devotee, actually he was almost 20-25 years old in Krishna consciousness, he came to His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj and he told that, Maharaj, there is no enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness left. Like that he was sharing. So Maharaj just took his two fingers and took to the ears and told, hear regularly. So actually long locked doors, once His Holiness Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj was saying that, no, long locked doors of devotional life being closed. You come and then, anything new we like, right? So Krishna consciousness also new we like, but later on mind wants something new. But actually, and sometimes we may not have that kind of enthusiasm continuing. I told that devotees who had long locked door after hearing Prabhupada lectures, again they sort of revived and continued in devotional life. So it's not just hearing to expand knowledge, but hearing to remain enthusiastic and alive in Krishna consciousness. So when we are continuously hearing, we are purified. When we are purified, the spiritual enthusiasm is revealed. And we continuously in our devotional life thrive and grow. So that's a second layer of hearing. The third layer of hearing, Mundaka Upanishad states. But read that verse, I am not thorough with that verse. Nayam atma pravachanana labhyo na medhasa na bahuna shutena yam evena vrinute tena labhyas tasseva atma vivrinute tanumswam. Sure, all of us are devotees, are scholars here, they must be knowing about this. The Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanation, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. Therefore, devotion is the only way to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the third level or the layer of hearing, which is hearing in a mood of a servant. And this verse actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes in his essay of Prayas. No, Rupa Goswami lists there are six qualities which are unfavorable to devotional life, and one of that quality is prayas. So there are two kinds of prayas. One is called karma prayas, another is called jnana prayas. So jnana prayas, even Brahma talks about it in 10th canto. So jnana prayas technically means that we are trying to achieve Lord by the dint of our understanding, and I will hear and I'll understand Lord, and that is it. I'll achieve Lord, but Lord is not achieved like that. And as Mundaka Upanishad states, Lord is achieved only by His own will, by His own sweet will. And His own sweet will is bestowed when He sees a devotee is not just hearing to gain knowledge and like that, but actually what one is doing apart from one's hearing. Okay, just like we say, 2 hours of chanting, it will be what 22 hours we do, that will be reflected in 2 hours. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is a very, very holistic process. It is not that we take just one aspect and stretch it and we achieve from it. No, it's not going to happen that way, because it's the process of consciousness and not a ritual. And the consciousness is, very simply put, as a servant. This is a very important cultivation in the life of a devotee. So, what one actually does in one's usual life, that is going to reflect in one's process of hearing and chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his book called Jaiva Dharma that Kanishtha Adhikari actually doesn't get purified by hearing and chanting, because he himself is in lower modes. Okay, so doing, but we have seen also, no, sometimes we are confused even after hearing what to take. We are always going, Prabhupada purpose go from, or maybe know what to do from this, what to do from this knowledge, sometime directionless and all those things. So this, we see it happened with us and it is, continues happening with us. Because when one is in lower modes of passion and ignorance, so it becomes very difficult to digest, even though we are regularly hearing, continue trying to expand and everything, but it becomes difficult. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by the association of pure devotees, one gets elevated to the next standard of Madhyam Adhikari and later on Uttam Adhikari. So when we are talking of hearing, and actually Lord chooses, when we associate with those devotees whom Lord has already chosen, that is the point of time when we get actually qualified to get the mercy of Lord. So that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Association with the pure devotees through their vapu and through their vani. When we try to continue following their instructions in the all aspects of our life, in the mood of a servant, then the hearing and chanting, they produce their result very quickly. That is an important point. So it's not that when we do some service technically, that only we do as a service, but the whole 24 hours in the devotee's life, one has to consciously cultivate this consciousness that whatever I am doing, as a service, as a service, as a service. And it's a practice. It's not that overnight it will happen. It's not that, okay, after like, no, 19, like 2025, one fine morning I wake up, this consciousness is there. No, that is not. It's a constant cultivation. Because the point is that, no, the pure devotional principle can be applied not just by the pure devotee, but even at the stages when one is not a pure devotee. And that's actually the way to come to the level of pure devotional service. So this consciousness, cultivating this consciousness of doing everything as a service, is a very important meditation for a devotee. And when one does that, that whatever I am doing is a service for the pleasure of Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas, then it becomes very easy. Of course, that's about consciousness. The other aspect which a devotee needs to cultivate to do, to actually continue on this platform of pleasing Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, is cultivating mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means remaining in present, rather present continuous. Passion means being in future. Past means being always in the... ignorance means being in the past. So a devotee has to constantly cultivate goodness, to which acts as a platform. It's like an airport. Okay, it's like creating an airway path where the plane of bhakti can easily fly. Okay, it cannot fly from our probably road from here, like no service road, or probably like no our basana road, or probably nowhere. It will not fly from. It is only going to fly from. No airway. So when we cultivate mode of goodness in our life, then it becomes easy for us to stick to this consciousness of pleasing Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas. It becomes easy to follow this yoga of pleasing Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas. And it's very difficult to cultivate mood of goodness. It's very difficult. One symptom of goodness is moderation. That we have to be very not, we have to be moderate about situations and not become very totally like, you know, going in the different extremes. And the way, the single way to create goodness is actually regulation. By regulating our life, by regulating our mind, by regulating our different activities, not just physical but mental activities, the mode of goodness slowly gets manifested. And by mode of goodness, clarity comes. By clarity, peace comes. So that is how, by cultivation of this properly of mode of goodness, we are in that stable platform to continue as a servant. Otherwise it becomes very difficult. Otherwise it becomes very difficult. And then when we, as a servant, when we operate in our situation, then hearing and chanting produces its effect. So that's how, this is the third layer of hearing which we see in scriptures. So to sum up the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam, and to and we see that how fourth canto is all about dovetailing whatever we think, whatever we are attached to in passion or goodness. And we have seen the success stories by those who actually follow their authorized sources. Then we see the bewilderment which happens for the living entities due to passion and ignorance. And then we see the importance, futility of such material enjoyment, and the importance of hearing from authorized sources. And then the three levels of hearing: hearing to expand one's knowledge, hearing to gain spiritual enthusiasm, and third is hearing as a servant. And that leads to that's what Prabhupada says, simply through the process of hearing. So this is the process of hearing, what we see our great acharyas have enunciated in the scriptures for the holistic development of the devotees. So with this, thank you very much. If there are any comments, please. No, they are very senior Vaishnavas sitting here. So please kindly share if there is any comment.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your first class. I am hearing first. this hearing for knowledge is understandable, and hearing as a pure servant also. Hearing for enthusiasm. So what is the basis of that enthusiasm? How does one get enthusiastic by hearing if he is not rooted in his pure identity? How does hearing enthusiasm, how does second you have categorized the hearing for enthusiasm. So unless third part is there, that one identifies himself in the pure identity, how does he really become enthusiastic for his spiritual practice?
Yeah, so the major point over here is that we are not looking them in silos, these different qualities of hearing. These three have to be, they are interrelated, and they have to be seen in that interrelation. And even in the life of a devotee, it's not that it's always black and white, he's identifying as a servant and not identifying. There are phases and the grayness in the devotee's life. Point is that what I'm trying to mention over here is that even after understanding the basic concepts of Krishna consciousness, and that we are spirit souls and we are supposed to serve and so on and so forth, the importance of regular hearing is there. Okay? It doesn't mean that devotees are we are not hearing in a mood of a servant and all, but generally the importance of regular hearing, that is being pointed out over here. Because if there is no regular hearing for a prolonged period of time, that leads to lack of enthusiasm, and then one's identity gets weakened and one's knowledge gets covered and the faith becomes blurred like that. So it's like hearing to gain knowledge, and more like continue to hear. It's not that okay, I'm having knowledge and I'm doing my services very well. Still one has to continue hearing. So all these things they are very gradual, sort of a very gradual transitioning phases, which are not exactly digital in nature, zero or one. It's more like going, coming according to the moods and also. devotee essentially takes shelter of all these three things. That's what I think. It is, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you, Premanande.